Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, hello, everybody.
Yes, happy Monday. You're listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan. It's another week in paradise right here on Channel Q.
It is Monday, and we're getting close to Memorial Day, which is absolutely wonderful.
I know, a long weekend. I don't even know what we're going to do.
Yeah, it's a long weekend, but I also don't know if people even know what they're going to do.
Exactly. It's a very strange time. I'm trying to figure that out myself. I would love to just be in nature, really.
But I most definitely did want a long weekend. A 3-day weekend was nice. I did have this very interesting Zoom reunion with some old coworkers that I haven't seen in about 3 years.
This past weekend.
Yeah, on Sunday it happened.
Okay.
And it was so random. And it was just like everyone was just having a good time, like just talking to each other, which was great to see people. But I did remember everyone was talking about how we all were. And I was like, wait a second, have these people I wasn't even real friends with, and everyone was just in like cliques with each other. And I kind of I had mentioned it over the Zoom, being like, we weren't really even all friends. We were all like, everyone was in their own cliques. And the whole Zoom just goes silent. And I'm just like, oh, so I guess it's too soon to talk about.
Oh my God, you're having a perfectly awkward Shira moment there.
Well, it was just me just being real about it, about the situation, because it was nice to see everyone. But also, I'm just I'm not about to be fake with y'all either. We barely talked. Why?
Wait, was this where I used to work too?
No.
Oh,
of course not.
This is forever
really close
ago.
With people where we used to work.
That's why I was confused. Okay, so this is another place.
This was
place.
My first job in Los Angeles.
Wow. Yeah. So that's interesting, kind of going back to the first during this time, reconnecting with people in that way.
Very interesting. But like I said, it was nice to see everyone. But I also just was, I guess, I live to be a little shady every once in a while. Why not? You only live life once.
We all know that keeps things interesting. Now, yesterday was also International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, and Biphobia. So we want to just mention that today, that we see you and we honor you. And, obviously we are against all hate of all kinds.
Well,
to
yeah,
everyone.
There's no hate on here on this station at all. Unless we're
exactly.
Shading Trump or someone that doesn't like Beyonce. But seriously, I think it's very important as a family. Pride is right around the corner. We need to be here for each other. And also our allies, our accomplices need to be here for each other, for us as well. So that's just something to keep in the back of your mind.
Definitely. Well, let's get into some what's trending this hour, because we have some juicy Trump news and a clip that is going viral, shall we?
Let's do it.
Now, a $500 billion Treasury Department fund created by the $2 trillion CARES Act in March to help stabilize the economy has supposedly lent barely any money. That's according to an initial report issued by a new bipartisan Congressional Oversight Commission. Now, the Treasury Department has implemented other parts of the CARE Act, but its work on that $500 billion fund, a lot of billions here, has so far led to little action at a time when companies are going bankrupt and more people are getting fired. And in this report, they asked, what are the Treasury and the Fed doing with the $500 billion of taxpayer money? Who is that money helping? They literally asked that question in this report.
I mean,
meanwhile, Treasury
that money's just sitting there.
Yeah, they didn't immediately reply to a request for comment. So we're all still waiting also, remember, on these the second stimulus check. So it's unsure as to where they're going to decide to place this money, whether it continues to go to companies, does it go to individuals? It's all very confusing right now, but at least there's this commission that's checking them on it all. Now let's move on to this Trump video that everyone is sharing. He said that he's been taking hydroxychloroquine, the anti-malaria drug that he's been touting as a potential coronavirus cure, for a couple of weeks in hopes of preventing COVID-19.
The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine?
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
When?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, when?
A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
Well, that is totally normal. I mean, this
so
just came
weird.
Out of nowhere. Listen, he's been talking about how this is a potential cure, but just to say that he's just been taking it with his zinc, like
some
it's a normal thing.
Some ain't clean in the water, all I'm saying, and some's not right. Either he has it, or he's just being a complete, like, I don't want, you know, forgive my language, but idiot for taking a drug that has nothing to do with helping COVID-19 and not listening to the doctors and the professionals around him. It's
yeah.
completely ridiculous.
A lot of people are just saying he's just probably lying. And now even Fox News is calling him out because of those statements. The clip being shared everywhere today from Neil Cavuto on Fox News. That's coming up next.
The frontline workers, many, many are taking it. I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine.
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
When?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah. When?
A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories.
That's President Donald Trump again touting how he's taking hydroxychloroquine daily. It's supposedly a coronavirus cure. Why is he even doing this? But besides that, and everyone's talking about this, to add more fuel to the fire, Neil Cavuto, and this is very surprising, on Fox News then dragged him for doing this and for sharing it with the public.
It was a test on patients there and those who took it in a vulnerable population, including those with respiratory or other conditions, they died. I want to stress again, they died. If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment to ward off the virus, or in a worst case scenario, you are dealing with the virus and you are in this vulnerable population, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough. This will kill you.
Back with us is political commentator Jackie Coppell. Okay, Jackie, what a way to start the week. What are your thoughts?
Happy Monday.
Right?
Well, I think it should be noted, I am not a medical doctor, but reading the science that is out there, the National Institutes of Health, the FDA have all said, do not take this. There was a study that was done that showed in large doses, it actually not only could be harmful, but led to a greater rate of death. Now, there has also been a study that showed that in lower doses and combined with zinc, that it could be a treatment, not that it's a cure, but it could either lessen the severity or length of time. So I just wanted to put out there the studies that are there to really underscore, this is not something you just take like, let me have a Tylenol. This is something that you take with doctors.
Yeah.
Significant, not just prescription, but conversation should be basically part of a clinical trial. It's a very serious thing.
Oh, it most definitely is a very serious thing. I mean, the FDA has put out warnings saying, like, this is not okay. No one should be doing this outside of a hospital or a clinical trial. So the fact that he's doing this, and I know also, you know, this drug is only really used for, like, malaria, arthritis,
correct,
and lupus. So it's like, if he is taking this, what does that really mean? Is he saying basically, guess what? I tested positive for this and I'm not telling you all. And so I'm going to try this drug that I've been saying you should try anyway. What do you think about that?
Well, I think he, you know, and I don't think this is a partisan statement. He is a man who understands television and he understands the cameras and he understands what media's response will be. This was an opportunity and he definitely went for it to take the attention, so to speak. It is, however, ultimately, I think, in my opinion, but also I think, again, people on all sides of the aisle would say this is a very dangerous statement to make. And in fact, just as you said, Shira, Neil Cavuto did. And I thought what was interesting, it was he actually said not to be political about it, but...
Yeah. All right, let's play that.
I only make this not to make a political point here, but a life and death point.
We are, of course, again with Jackie Coppell, and that was Neil Cavuto. Very surprising because he is supposedly a Trump supporter. Aren't they like BFFs? And what does this say about now his support and the story that Trump is trying to control?
Every once in a while, Cavuto sort of comes back.
He comes out of the sunken place.
You said that, not your words, not mine. But he does actually, he has come out and pushed back before. So this isn't the first time, but I do think that it's a pretty remarkable thing that he felt it. He felt that it was so important to come out and say, this drug can kill you. Do not take it, because he's so concerned that people are going to hear that Trump is taking it and take action. Much like when he talked about disinfectant, right? There were increased calls to states to say, hey, is this really true? Should I take, you know, Clorox or whatnot to stave off COVID?
Yeah.
So, power of the presidency is a very real thing.
Of course. Yeah. Will this impact his rating, like his approval rating? Because if he has places like Fox News coming out against him, will those viewers finally say, maybe we shouldn't trust what he's saying?
Maybe as part of, you know, sort of a litany of things, it could just be a little chink in the armor. I don't think it's going to change anyone's mind in a particularly huge way, though.
All right. Well, thank you, Jackie Coppell, again for being here.
My pleasure.
You can follow her at Jackie Coppell on Instagram for all her political reports. Now, coming up, the latest firing that Trump is doing to get back at the Obama administration. That's coming up in 10 minutes. In the latest in Trump firing news, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told the Washington Post that he had recommended that State Department Inspector General Steve Linnick be fired because he was undermining the State Department. Or was he just undermining Trump? Here is Trump talking about his firing.
Nope. I just got rid of him.
And you've got some criticism from Democrats in Congress who are saying this is a pattern of you trying to avoid having accountability.
Yeah, I know. And if I didn't fire him, they would have criticized me too. They'd criticize no matter what you do. You know, if you have too many ventilators, they'll say, gee, he has too many ventilators. If you don't have enough, they'll say he doesn't have enough. No matter what you do, between that and their partner, the fake news media, they'll find something. No, I don't know the gentleman. I was... happy to do it. Mike requested that I do it. He should have done it a long time ago, in my opinion. He's an Obama appointment, and he had some difficulty. But I just don't know who he is. I don't know. I never heard his name.
Okay, back with us is Drexel Herr, Democratic political strategist. Drexel, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you both. How are you?
You know, we're getting through it. There's a lot going on today.
Oh, yeah. It's very busy.
Now, Drexel, for those who haven't been following the situation closely, why was Steve Linnick fired? What was he overseeing? Like, why is this even important for us to know about?
Sure. So I think the most important thing for people to know is that inspector generals are independent watchdogs. Their job is to make sure that every department or every agency that they oversee is doing the right thing. That's it in a nutshell. They're independent of the... While it is a person who reports to the president, because anybody in the executive branch, it can be fired or hired by the president of the United States. Essentially, that person is usually appointed by somebody who has a little bit of anonymity and is able to do their job correctly. In this case, the president has fired four inspector generals in the past, like 6 months or something like that. Including the State Department, Health and Human Services Inspector General, the Department of Defense Inspector General, and the Intelligence Inspector General. And that's concerning because all of those have overseen something in the past 6 months that have been crucial to what we've been talking about every day.
I'm going to ask you, is this just because they were Obama's hires or because they're actually not doing their job?
Well, that's a good question, because if you've seen the president's tweets recently, I'm sure President Obama gets under his skin every day, because that's all he thinks about is President Obama.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a combination of both. It's a combination of, you know, this was an Obama pick. And also, this is somebody who is looking into a possible criminal activity that we want to be able to cover up. And so that's really what it comes down to. And this president does not seem to like oversight. He doesn't understand the need for congressional oversight. He certainly doesn't understand the need for inspector general oversight as well.
All right, so we're speaking to Democratic political strategist Drexel Herr, and I want to know, for Trump to say that he didn't even know this guy's name, one, yeah, it seems like that's not even true, and was this guy basically just fired unfairly at this point?
Sure. So I don't know that. The only thing I give Trump credit for is the fact that he's probably right. He probably didn't know this guy's name. Mike Pompeo probably went in and said, we need to fire this guy. You're the only person who can do it because he's looking into the things that we are trying to do. And he was also apparently looking into some of the staffing situations that were happening at the State Department as well, including what was happening with Secretary Pompeo's wife. You know, this is a Secretary of State who, for the first time ever, we have a Secretary of State living on a military base using military housing, which has never happened before. So they're obviously doing things outside of the norm. And I don't think Mike Pompeo likes it. I think he's been out there doing Trump's bidding. And Donald Trump just said, okay, whatever you need me to do, I'll fire this guy. Of course, Trump
was there something also around Saudi Arabia?
So there was a deal that the State Department was working on that the Inspector General was looking into allegedly. And that got flagged by Mike Pompeo. And you know, we'll see what that story looks like over the next few weeks. I'm sure the reporters are going to be swirling around that just to figure out what the actual story is. But word on the street is that the Secretary of State did not like the Inspector General looking into that.
Well, that raises some flags. If you don't want someone to look into something, it's kind of like they're going to move towards the fire.
Yeah, it's like, what right. do you not want them to find?
Right, right. I mean, that has been the MO of this administration for the past 3 years. And I think that it's really important that people remember that, you know, a president is not a dictator. A president is not a king. And this president is acting like both. And for somebody that does not like oversight, probably should not be the president of the United States.
All right. Well, Drexel Hurd, thanks again for being here today.
Thanks so much.
Again, you can find Drexel on Instagram at Drexel Hurd. He's a Democratic political strategist. We are moving to another subject. I need to preface that because coming up, what to do if you have a higher sex drive in quarantine and you don't know what to do about it. We're helping you next. You might feel like your sex drive has entered the next level. And experts are saying you are right to feel that way. Joining us now, back with us is clinical psychologist Josh Klapo to help us navigate why we are all so horny right now. Or some of us, at least. Maybe others.
You. I think it's just
no,
you.
No, it's not just me. All right. Thank you so much for joining us for this, Dr. Josh.
Do you want to talk about this publicly, Sharon, or should you talk about this privately?
It's not about me. So this is
trust
the thing.
Me, she's already talked about it plenty of times.
No, this is the thing. And I know I've heard from some people we work with that and who are married and they're not seeing like that they're having lots of sex. But I do think, is it a thing that's different between singles right now and people that are in relationships?
Yes. The blanket kind of statement of everybody's sex drive is up. Oh, hell no. I mean, that's just not the case. That being said, depending on your situation, depending on your previous sexual history, whether you got kids, how long you've been married, there is, for some people, absolutely heightened sexual energy right now. And some of that comes because we're kind of out of our routine. So it's not just the fact that, I mean, yes, people are home together and okay, look, we're in the same place and we got time. But I will tell you this sort of uncertainty and the virus and what's tomorrow going to be like. It's not so much the end of the world scenario, but it does play into our subconscious and makes a lot of us feel it's, you know what it's like? It's like when you go to the hotel and at least one of the two partners is like, haha, we're in a hotel. Things are different. Yeah. This is all very different. That plays into increased libido.
And the other one wants to fall asleep and watch a movie. Yeah,
absolutely.
Dr. Josh, who is one of the best psychologists who we love to have on, I think that's interesting, though, because I feel like there also could be a lot of guilt that goes along with feeling these emotions, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Do you feel like it's something we shouldn't be thinking about or doing during a pandemic?
If you're feeling guilt about having increased libido, about wanting to have sex, and you're feeling guilty because we're in a pandemic, it's something that you need to talk to your partner about, because while it's understandable, absolutely understandable, Ryan, it and even let's say rational, there's no need to decrease your sex life from an emotional standpoint because we're in a pandemic. It's just, there is no need for that. But you may feel that because other people are sick, other people are dying, other people don't get to to have their jobs, that kind of stuff. It's almost like survivor guilt, which we see a lot of times. I'm okay. Yeah. I feel horny. That makes me feel bad. But if you're having that, oh my God, talk to your partner, because that's a great communication line. That's a great line of communication.
So yeah, what are partners supposed to do when they're seeing themselves, they're stuck in this situation. There's kids, work, there's so much going on, and this is a libido killer, right? Mm-hmm. How are you supposed to create that romance again right now?
Through communication, honesty, and recognizing that you may not be able to create the romance that you're thinking about in terms of sexual activity. You can create the romance. We're in it together. You can have a movie night. You can do sort of things like that. But I'm about getting real. I mean, unless you're going to sneak away and go into the shower, go into the bathroom, that kind of thing, particularly if you got kids, and
yeah,
you have little fingers underneath the door crack and, you know, mommy, that kind of stuff. The reality is we are stuck at home. And so look at intimacy, maybe not so much as having sex, but as being romantic, as being intimate. We're going to have to. Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying this is going to go on forever, but right now, like, we sometimes need a reality check.
And then finally for the singles, tips for the singles, yeah. Because I've been open. I had my buddy and my buddy is no longer around. And I don't really know if I have the effort to have a new buddy. I'm kind of like done at this point. And that becomes frustrating.
Just super quickly, from a public health standpoint, do not let your libido and your horniness make you do stupid things like a lot of us do when we're horny. Think about your physical health first.
Yes.
Second, that is why we have video. That is why we have all kinds of ways of addressing some of your horniness without necessarily having other partners. And I'll leave that up to the rest of the sex experts to talk about. But I don't want people out there being unsafe from a virus pandemic standpoint because of looking.
Yeah, and there's plenty of options on Amazon. You can buy some really good things that could help you with your...
We're talking about not videos, like
sex toys.
Oh, yeah,
you can buy sex toys on Amazon.
You can get paper towels and sex toys on the
paper
same delivery.
Yes, okay. I thought you meant that was together. Okay, Dr. Josh Glapo, thank you so much for being with us again.
Thanks, guys.
Dr. Josh is a clinical psychologist, and he's always with us to share the wisdom. Now, coming up next, President Trump is pushing for schools to reopen. All right. However, France is seeing a spike in COVID cases as children return to classrooms.
Honestly, not shocked here. I mean, what else are they expecting? It's probably going to happen here, too.
Yikes, that's scary. Well, that's coming up with What's Trending This Hour when we return. Okay, we are back right now on Let's Go There.
Yes, we are. And Shira, I just want to know, are you still horny after having that conversation? Because I feel like Dr. Josh was trying to help you through it because that conversation was for you, not for me.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Just take yourself out of that. Not like you're single or anything.
I am.
No, actually, my survival instinct has gone from horny to hungry right now, and I want to eat something. So once my hunger comes into play, my horniness decreases.
Well, guess what? In gay culture, that means a lot when you want to eat something as well. So I wouldn't say that in West Hollywood. But what's coming up next?
Yeah. Well, is the trans military ban over? Because there seems to have been a small victory made. And we're diving into that in 30 minutes. But let's get into some What's Trending This Hour. Attorney General William Barr appeared alongside FBI Director Christopher Wray today during a virtual news briefing at the Justice Department. And let me tell you, he threw some shade at Trump, saying that they're not going to be investigating Obama or Biden. So I guess no more Obamagate.
No, I've commented since I have been Attorney General and even during my confirmation hearings that over the past few decades, there have been increasing attempts to use the criminal justice system as a political weapon. The legal tactic has been to gin up allegations of criminality by one's political opponents based on the flimsiest of legal theories. This is not a good development. This is not good for our political life. And it's not good for the criminal justice system.
Finally, it was a waste of time anyway. And honestly, Trump did not even know what he wanted to convict President Obama and former Vice President Joe Biden on. It's like he had no clue. He was just following the thread on Twitter of some bots making this whole story up. It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, on to the next, right? Now, at least 70 new cases of COVID-19 have been detected in reopened schools in France, as nearly 150,000 children returned to classrooms today. And that's according to the country's education minister. He said every time, or almost every time, these are cases that are declared outside of school. It is inevitable for there to be some cases found inside of school, but that remains the minority. So, I mean, it's interesting to hear all these stories coming out from other countries as they reopen and get back to normal. And I do think we're going to see some cases. We can't expect there to be nothing.
Oh, yeah.
And that can't stop us from opening.
I'm not expecting there to be nothing either. But, you know, you can't expect, you know, to follow the lead of a lot of different countries because they're on a whole different phase plan. And so it's just absolutely, we have to do what's best for us and we have to do what's best for our kids and things, you know, our communities around us. And so you just got to be smart about this. And unfortunately, I feel like the wrong people are in charge.
Yeah. And I do think we're going to get into this whole excuse of herd immunity. I'm telling you, that's going to be a big thing to ramp things up again. All right. Well, speaking of, reopening and actually wearing masks, people who have asthma or other lung conditions should not wear a face mask because it could make it difficult for them to breathe. That's according to some experts. And the British government is now advising people to wear face coverings if they are out in places where it is difficult to stay at least 6 feet away from others, not just the British government. And this comes from the Daily Mail, but everyone pretty much is saying that. And we have some great WTF moments of Karens not listening. One Karen specifically.
Oh, no, there was two Karens. There was two Karens.
Yeah, but there,
there
was only
terrible.
One with the mask. And actually, the other Karen wasn't wearing a mask.
All those Karens.
Yes, but they're saying that masks may trigger asthma for some patients and can also cause anxiety, which changes people's breathing patterns. So just be aware of what you need while being responsible for yourself and others.
I mean, it most definitely, I was like working out this weekend and it most definitely kind of gives me some type of claustrophobia in some ways. Like I haven't been like obviously diagnosed with that, but it is very difficult where you're trying to keep it up. Even just walking and being around in the neighborhood, it just feels like, oh my God, what is this on my face? I feel like a lot of people are having a hard time adjusting to that.
Yeah, and it'll take time. So just stay safe out there. That's all I'm saying. More What's Trending this hour and the next hour right here on Let's Go There. Now, next up, our WTF News Roundup is coming up in 10 minutes. And today, as we mentioned, it's the attack of the Karens.
You have no right to yell at me. You have no right to this woman. Please make service. After 20 minutes of confidence, if you can't figure out where an address is in Brooklyn, and you're first, you refuse me service because you're just stupid. I'm trying to do my mother a favor and you're too stupid to figure out an address in New York. I cannot believe you have a job here.
All right, that crazy clip begins our WTF News Roundup. And this roundup starts off with a bunch of Karens, unfortunately. They were out and about wild this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everyone has some pent-up aggressions. And our good Karens were just at full peak, a full negative peak. But they were there and they really needed to take out their anger on some essential workers.
Yeah, so that clip was from a post office. This woman was trying to send something to her mom and freaked out, to say the least. She was like hitting the separation between her and the workers, calling them horrible names, as you heard. It was just bad. This is like the worst of humanity right there in that clip.
It gets worse in this next clip that we're about to hear.
Yeah. Okay. So this Karen was at a Gelson's. She decided to capture her own WTF video, getting angry at the man in front of the store and the manager because she couldn't go inside if she didn't have a mask. And this is just something that everyone knows about. You need to have a mask to go into these public spaces and grocery stores.
Yeah.
If you'd like to hang out with me for
awesome.
If not, we can provide you with one.
I'm not wearing a mask.
Okay, understood.
Perfect.
Just a moment.
Go ahead. Hi, I have a medical condition that I'm not allowed to wear a mask, and I'm not required by HIPAA rules and regulations to disclose that.
Okay, can we shop for you?
So, what does that look like? I have private things I want to get, but maybe I don't want you to see.
For you? But I can't let you in the store without a mask.
Okay, so where's the regulations that state that?
The regulations?
Yeah.
That is company.
Because you're discriminating against me now. Do you know that?
I'm
you're discriminating against me.
That we can help you.
No, because I have private stuff that I don't want you to see.
Then you can call corporate office, but I can't help you.
You're pretty chipper. Huh? You're happy?
Why not be?
Why are you happy?
Yeah. Normally I'm a bartender and I wouldn't have a guest.
Yeah.
Not the guest.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you guys think it's okay to, like, infringe on people's rights here. You're infringing on people's rights.
Yeah, I just don't understand, once again, why this woman felt like she could make herself the victim. And then she's recording. She's trying to make a whole thing talking about a lawsuit. It's like, girl, you're the one in the wrong here. You're not the victim. People are just trying to do their jobs. If you have information about, like, oh, you can't wear a mask for an actual reason, then yeah, have that on you. Like, provide that to these stores. But even then, just use Instacart. It's that simple.
Yeah, and he even offered to get her the groceries. Man, that was like an angel. And yeah, she continued being an a-hole. So that Karen was just no good at all. I don't want to see no more Karen. Just be better to people. Let's be better to each other.
I agree. I think a lot of people are working hard right now, and it's unfortunate to see and hear and take witness to a lot of angry people taking their own aggressions out on these people who are just trying to make a living and trying to do the best that they can. And it's just gross. Yeah. I mean, I've gotten into it with, like, you know, some customer service people before because, you know, attitudes are just disgusting. But I think at a time like this, you have to learn how to give some grace and space, right? You have to be able to just be there for people and show up. Like, maybe they're having a tough day. Maybe something happened in their own lives versus feeling straight up aggressive and, like, basically assaulting them at some point. Like, it's just, it's wild.
All right, let's move on to llamas, who could possibly save the world. A study published last week in the journal Cell found that antibodies in llamas' blood could offer a defense against the coronavirus. Finally, we have an answer. So they have larger antibodies like ours. This is how it works, according to this. Llamas also have small ones that can sneak into spaces on viral proteins that are too tiny for human antibodies. So that helps them to fend off the threat. And the hope is that the llama antibodies could help protect humans who have not been infected. So who knows? We might see this as a solution in the future.
It sounds like they have, like, James Bond antibodies. Like, they have, like, little spies going in and attacking the viruses, which is interesting. But yeah, I don't know. Llamas spit. And so that's kind of traumatizing for me. I don't know if I want a llama inside of me.
No. Well, they're like unicorns, and I love unicorns. Let's move on to this next story.
Wow.
All right. This one is a bit triggering for me because the person who I had this agreement with sent me this article, and we no longer have this agreement anymore. Singles in the Netherlands were recommended to find a sex buddy to ride out quarantine with.
So you got dumped by your sex buddy is what you just revealed to everyone.
I cannot confirm nor deny this fact.
We'll know when we start hearing the bitterness while you're telling the story. Go right
don't
ahead.
Don't we have a story about being horny today? Yeah, okay.
Go right
the
ahead.
The Dutch National Institute for Public Health and the Environment reportedly made the suggestion on its official guidance on coronavirus and sexuality. So they made this official, everyone, saying those quarantining without a partner or permanent sex partner could find a like-minded individual to have sex with. And yes, take it from me, that's a beautiful option until it gets taken away from you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm bitter.
I am not going to become a Karen right now.
You're too stupid.
I feel it. I see it. I think everyone has a Karen inside of them, especially if you're a white woman.
All right. Well, that does it for our WTF News Roundup. Now, coming up, in a victory for trans troops, they can now serve as their true gender. That was just announced. But what is the catch? Director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project, Jennifer Levi, joins us for that next. A transgender service member in the U.S. Navy has been granted a waiver to present as the correct gender for the first time since Trump's trans military ban became law. So should we all be celebrating right now? It seems so. And is this a win for the trans community? Joining us is Jennifer Levi, director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. So we all know about the trans military ban. So how did this waiver situation even happen?
Yeah, well, so the military has said that any transgender person who comes out since the ban went into effect in April of 2019 faces discharge. There is, however, a possibility of avoiding that if the person is granted a waiver. But I want to say that the waiver is like a black box. You know, there's no process that's in place that makes it clear how somebody can get around this ban. And so, you know, it puts people who are meeting all of the military's qualifications for service in limbo and in a really precarious situation.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's not even a solution.
No, it's not. No, I mean, this is a hugely important outcome for this individual. This means that this transgender person will not face discharge, but it doesn't get rid of the ban, which people are currently still facing.
Yeah, so I could see how this headline could come up and make people think that this is a huge win and a shift.
Well, as I said, it's a huge win for this person, right? I mean, it's really important that this individual who's been serving nearly a decade, who's been on multiple tours of duty, isn't being discharged. But no, the outcome here doesn't do away with the ban that exists for anybody else at this point.
What is GLAAD and other organizations, what are you doing to still fight this?
Yeah, so great question. We have actually two other cases that are currently pending in federal courts. That is a challenge to the heart of the military ban that's currently in place. So there are definitely more steps to come to do away with this, you know, terrible policy that's undermining the military.
Now, for anyone who's just tuning in, we are joined by Jennifer L. Levi. She is the director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project. And will this even make waves and change in the trans military ban? Or could this be something that could be like, all right, well, we have something to work with here. And how do we move forward?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, what this shows is that there's absolutely no basis to the ban. It's unprincipled. It doesn't make any sense. If the military itself is saying that, you know, this individual who is meeting all the criterion of service can continue to do so, there's no reason to single out other transgender people who are currently in service and discharge them. Like, it makes no sense. So yeah, this is a really important next step that really shows how irrational the ban is, how nonsensical it is.
Of course. And we all know that, obviously, any human that has any sort of like sense to themselves. But how do you get this waiver? So I'm listening and I'm like, I'm a trans individual. I want to serve. How do I get this waiver now?
That's a great question. And the military hasn't told people how it is that they can get the waiver. I mean, that was one of the bases for bringing the lawsuit that this individual did, which, you know, has now, you know, hopefully been resolved for this individual. But that's part of the problem. There is not a process that's in place that people know about or they understand, right? It's just kind of this mysterious process. And again, it makes no sense because it only pertains for people who are already meeting military requirements, and then they need some exception in order to remain in service. Just doesn't make any sense.
So let's take it back even a little bit further, because I feel like there could be some people listening to this that didn't even realize that there was a ban in the first place. I mean, you know, I feel like this is a huge conversation for our community, but we do have allies and people listening that may not even know. And has anything the government really even said been proven when it comes to this ban?
So great question, right? So taking it back a step for folks that, you know, it was in July of 2017 that President Trump announced by a tweet that transgender people would no longer be allowed to serve in the military. They had been allowed to during the prior administration. And there were several lawsuits that were brought, and the ban was able to be put off for nearly 2 years before it actually went into effect in April of 2019. And so, I mean, the government has never come forward with any basis for saying that someone who is otherwise meeting all military requirements should be discharged from service. So, you know, and again, I mean, what this is showing is that there's no reason for it. It makes no sense. But no, the government, the military has not come forward with anything that really justifies the ban.
So is there any hope moving forward?
Yeah, there's definitely hope. You know, as I said, there are actually now four federal lawsuits that are moving forward and are heading towards trials in, you know, before the end of this year. There's, you know, some political possibilities also of the ban getting, you know, ending the ban.
Okay.
And as I said, I think that these stories of people who are meeting the service requirements are really important too.
And GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project, do you just want to share a bit more about that and how people can get involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would encourage people to take a look at www.glaad.org. There's a lot of information there about the Transgender Rights Project and the work that we do. And I'd also encourage people to check out a website, which is www.notransmilitaryban.org. Which has a tremendous amount of information about the pending lawsuits and the current state of the law.
All right. Well, Jennifer Levi, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate your covering this important story.
Of course. Now, Jennifer, again, is the director of GLAAD's Transgender Rights Project. Now, coming up, to save money, California is going to close its youth prison system. How this will only help the state, that's next. In order to save money, Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom announced a revised spending plan, and that includes closing the youth's prison system, otherwise known as the Department of Juvenile Justice. Now, that's a pretty big decision, and joining us to talk to us more about that is Renee Menart, a spokesperson for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so how much money does this actually mean that we save?
So the Division of Juvenile Justice, it operates 4 facilities across California and holds about 750 youth currently. So this comes at a cost of $200 million a year to California. And as the population of youth in those facilities has declined in recent years, that actually comes out to about $300,000 per youth annually that it costs the state.
That's a lot.
That is a lot of money. I mean, honestly, I would love to know how this is going to impact communities of color, because oftentimes I feel like these systems, specifically the prison system, regardless if it's adult or youth, are designed, unfortunately, for communities of color. How is that going to impact them now that this is going to end up closing? What does this look like?
This is really an exciting opportunity for us as a state. Of course, we recognize that the governor's decision has come about in a major deficit for the state. At the same time, youth advocates across California for years have really been advocating for the closure of DJJ. And this is because the state facilities are incredibly dangerous for youth. They have high rates of violence and isolation. And as you mentioned, they are primarily impacting youth of color in California. So, of course, the juvenile justice system, as well as the criminal justice system, disproportionately impacts Black and Brown people across the state. And in DJJ, it's no different. The majority of youth there are Latino and Black youth. And these facilities really leave youth with lasting trauma that they return home with. And when we're looking at ways to provide rehabilitation for young people, we need to be looking at alternatives that are closer to home and ideally in community settings.
And it also seems to set them up for failure, and then it becomes a domino effect for their life.
It really does. You know, a lot of my work continues to research the state system, and a lot of what we look at, it, on top of having interviews and conversations with people who have been directly impacted, we also rely heavily on the information that the state system puts out. Now, of course, there are a lot of gaps in the information that DJJ provides, but one thing that they do track is recidivism. Now, that is how frequently youth return to the system after they've been released. And DJJ, in its most recent report looking at this, they found that within 3 years of release, about half of youth who were released from DJJ were convicted of a new crime, and about 30% were returning to either DJJ or an adult prison. So not only do young people coming from DJJ return to the system rather frequently, but it also has impacts on their day-to-day lives. They have mental health challenges that are exacerbated when returning home. You know, if you've been away from your family for 2.5 years, there's a lot of disconnect. And of course, these are institutional settings. They are large prison-like facilities. And when youth come home, they often describe feeling hypervigilant when in their home setting. They feel really unprepared for their return to the community. And I think we need to be looking at ways to support them across the board.
Yeah, we're talking again to Renee Menart, a spokesperson for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice, as we discuss the decision that Governor Gavin Newsom made to actually close the youth's prison system in order to save money. I guess, what will there be as another option? So if there is a youth that does something, how will the system react to that now?
I'm hoping it's not that. I hope it's like therapy and mental health stuff.
Yeah, this is something that's still a bit unclear. And this is where the role of, you know, juvenile justice advocates and experts across the state really need to come together to voice recommendations for the administration to consider. For myself and my colleagues at CJCJ, we think that the future of juvenile justice is certainly local. And on top of that, it needs to be outside of our punitive system that exists. So the solution in a long-term way is not simply to move youth from facility to facility, but really, as you mentioned, to provide alternative services that aren't being offered in these settings. You know, rehabilitation is kind of it's a big word that can be used in so many different ways. But what that looks like to me is providing therapy when needed, providing, tangible resources when needed, be it housing, food, other essentials, providing family therapy when it's an option, especially by community providers that are equipped and culturally connected to the folks that need those services. And in some cases, it also means avoiding intervention when we can. Sometimes we think you need services on services on services.
Right.
And what we see at the local level is a lot of youth who are currently in juvenile facilities, juvenile halls, camps, and ranches, that the DJJ youth would be returning to. A lot of those facilities are currently holding youth who have misdemeanors and very minor probation violation offenses.
Yeah. And so Renee, do you think other states will adopt this to kind of wrap this up?
In fact, other states have adopted this. California often likes to think of ourselves as progressive leaders, but unfortunately, in the realm of juvenile justice, we've been lagging behind, especially with the continuation of these dangerous DJJ facilities. For example, Massachusetts, decades ago, closed their state-run juvenile prisons, and they moved youth to local settings, especially smaller, more home-like settings for young people.
So wow. Interesting. All right. Well, Renee Menard, thank you so much for sharing all this with us. It's a lot to wrap our heads around, but at least we're heading in a better direction, it seems. Again, Renee is a spokesperson for the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice. Now, coming up, actor Bill Pullman had some words for President Trump. The bizarre video he tweeted over the weekend. That's next on What's Trending This Hour, coming up in 10 minutes. We are back. You are listening to Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan. Let me tell you, Ryan, I'm excited because tonight, it's funny that I'm excited for this, but I'm doing this thing called Death Over Dinner.
Weird.
We have conversations about death over dinner. And it's not to say I'm excited like it's this positive thing, but I've heard amazing stories about this experience and we're going to be doing it virtually.
It sounds like the Addams Family dinner. Like it just feels like there's going to be people wearing all black.
No,
death in a very emo centric way. What does this even mean?
I love Addams Family.
I bet you do.
They were my favorite. Anyway, I'll let you know more about that tomorrow and maybe we can have the founder on the show. Actually, someone from New York Times supposedly is going to be at my table. I don't even know how you have a table when you're on Zoom.
I don't know. This is weird. I don't know if I want to know about an update after this. So maybe.
Well, maybe you won't have a choice. Okay.
Oh, let's all of my life on this show. I never have a choice.
But coming up in 10 minutes, we've got your favorite segment. It's your tea report, pop culture stories of the day.
Mm-hmm, y'all, it's crazy. Just wait.
It is, actually. But let's get into some what's trending this hour right now. All right. President Donald Trump, during the weekend, shared a heavily altered video clip from the 1996 film Independence Day, where it appears that he gives this iconic speech from the President of the United States. Well, Trump is superimposed because he wasn't actually the president in that movie. And there are others in the crowd, including Ted Cruz, Donald Trump Jr., and Fox personalities like Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity. They're there also.
Yeah, all over faces of people that are characters in the movie. It's very weird.
Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interests. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the stars of the movie were not happy about this. And actor Bill Pullman, who plays the president in the movie, you hear his voice, said this to The Hollywood Reporter: "My voice belongs to no one but me, and I'm not running for president this year." One of the other stars of the movie, Vivica A. Fox, shared her disgust for the altered clip on social media, tweeting, "Pretending you know what you're doing? Can't believe you would insult our classic film this way, but hey, typical POS behavior. You never had the leadership or courage to do this role. Never."
I mean, here's the thing. That movie is a classic. It is very sacred. And the fact that he had probably one of his interns, or maybe he even took it off of a Twitter
user.
I think
it was just taken from someone else.
It's weird. It's very weird. And how about you actually address the country? Don't do it through some funny video that no one cares about. That's not even funny. It's weird and tone deaf.
Like, it's a weird meme. But listen to this. There was one actor from the movie that was in support of this. Who knew actor Randy Quaid was a Trump supporter? And he tweeted this: at the premiere of our film, the audience lined around two blocks and leapt to their feet, cheering with patriotic enthusiasm throughout the film. I've not seen that kind of intense fervor until the Trump rallies.
I hate that comparison. That is the worst comparison ever.
All right, so, well, let's move on. A congregant who attended a California church on Mother's Day for a service that was against state orders tested positive, unfortunately, for coronavirus the next day, possibly exposing 180 other churchgoers. Yep, Mike Jacobson, a pastor at Palermo Bible Family Church, that's about 70 miles north of Sacramento, said in a Facebook post that a congregant fell ill the day after attending the May 10th service. He also added, "For 7 weeks, we've been kept out of our church and away from our church family. I'm fully aware that some people may not understand that for our church, it is essential to be together in fellowship." So he's basically saying through that it's essential. That is an essential story.
Well, I mean, we'll see what Jesus has to say to him, because he'll probably be seeing him very soon.
Oh. Now, people in China must keep wearing face masks for at least another year to fend off COVID-19. That's according to Beijing's top coronavirus experts, and they are warning that they should become a norm, these masks, for Chinese citizens, even when the outbreak is contained. So just saying, this is going to be the new norm. Watch out, Fashion Week. I know you're into fashion, Ryan. Are you going to redo your entire wardrobe so that the masks go with your outfit?
Yeah, if it's not designer, I don't want it.
All right, well, we'll see if you can afford that.
I'm poor. I had to talk about how poor I am all the time. There's no way I'm affording some designer mask. I will put a plastic bag over my face before I do anything else. So screw everyone.
All right. Well, let's move into the Tea Report. What stories are coming up?
All right. So coming up in the Tea Report, all you Bachelor and Bachelorette fans better tune in, because one of your faves just dropped the N-word on Instagram. Yep, I'm spilling the tea up next. It's time for the Tea Report. You know those entertainment pop culture stories that you probably miss, but you need to know all about, right?
Yeah, of course.
So here's the thing. I'm going to probably start off with some bad news. Obviously, if you didn't hear over the weekend, actor and comedian Frank Willard passed at the age of 86. Wow, is he an iconic actor? There's so many incredible things that he's done out throughout his career. One thing that I actually remember him on was this episode of Boondocks, which is like this hilarious animated show, and he had a hilarious character on there. And it's just really sad. I think it's a big hit to the comedy community.
Yeah, and this comes after Jerry Stiller passed the weekend before. So many great comedic icons leaving us right now.
So here are some comedians reacting to his death. You know, Jimmy Kimmel said, "I'm sad to say goodbye to Fred Willard, who was still the funniest man at age 86. Here's what turned out to be our last moment on air," and he played that moment. It was in his tweets. And then Jamie Lee Curtis, she also said, "How lucky that we all get to enjoy Fred Willard's gifts. He is with his missed Mary now. Thanks for the deep belly laughs, Mr. Willard." And then, of course, Steve Carell, who actually worked with Willard on his new Netflix show called Space Force, and that's actually premiering next week. He tweeted that Willard was the funniest person ever, and that he was sweet and wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, comedy community is most definitely taking a huge hit right now.
Even our program director, Brian Holt, posted about it, because I guess he's met him or knew him. And he posted a picture of them both in these tuxedos saying, "We sure will miss you. Thank you for the laughs and that oh so generous heart of yours. Keep on smiling."
so beautiful. And honestly, it sucks that we've lost, you know, a couple of legends. Okay, so moving on in the Tea Report, y'all. Now, if you are a Bachelor or Bachelorette fan, y'all better tune in right now because there is some drama happening. Hannah Brown, who was the star of season 15, The Bachelorette, is now apologizing for using the N-word on an Instagram Live of her rapping some song. And yeah, here's this awful clip.
Have you ever seen a real rock star? It's no good guitarist. It's a
throw it.
I did. I'm so sorry.
That wasn't you. That was Brooke.
No, I was singing this. I'm so sorry.
I don't think that you said that.
I don't think. Maybe it was Patrick.
Yeah, but also it could have been the other people here.
Anyway,
what I hate about this is that she thinks it's so funny. Like, she's like, oops, I'm sorry. And her friend's like, no, you didn't say it. Like, it's like, stop it. Just shut your mouths and go away.
Yeah, well, guess what, Cheers? She immediately apologized on her IG story, of course, saying this. I owe you all a major apology. There is no excuse and I will not justify what I said. I will have read your messages and seen the hurt I've caused. I own it all. I'm terribly sorry and blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. She was rapping a song, and you know what? There's this, always this constant conversation happening.
Yeah.
Of people saying, well, if it's in the song, why can't I say the word? And it, normally those people are non-people of color. Those are white people. And even people, and all honesty, I will say this. If you are not black, you should not be using that word. And someone that put it best, in my opinion, was, I don't know if I would say it's a co-star, but Rachel Lindsay, she was actually one of the Bachelorettes. She's one of the only black Bachelorettes ever, and I actually watched her season. Here's what she had to say, and I feel like she explains it perfectly.
Let me give you a little history on that word. That word has so much weight and history behind it. If you don't know, please do yourself a favor, because it's probably not in your history book at school. Please do yourself a favor and educate yourself on that word. The word bitch used to be so a word that nobody could use, right? It was so vile to use that against a woman. And then women started to take power back over the word. That is what the argument is for rappers that use it in a song. You should not, non-black people should not feel okay saying that word. You wouldn't say it on TV, you wouldn't say it on the radio, you wouldn't say it in front of your black friend.
It's really ridiculous, and it sucks to have seen her laughing because clearly she did not take it as seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can only imagine how many brand deals she's about to lose. But if y'all want to know more about that story, head over to WeirdChannelQ.com and make sure to keep us followed at LGT Show.
Coming up, whether you're a 2020 graduate or not, the Obama commencement speech we all needed. That's next on our Yaz Queen of the Day. It's time for our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yes, Queen.
Let's start this off with Instagram. So they're not just for models and booties anymore.
Who are you following on Instagram?
I follow you.
That's the content I am giving.
Exactly. All right. So listen to this. They launched a new tool to help us find reliable, accurate information on topics around mental health and wellness to support us all during the pandemic. It's actually really cool. It's a new mobile-only tool. It's called Guides, and it shows Instagram users tips and resources from a variety of publishers, including Good Morning America. So shout out to Instagram for stepping it up around mental health.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I actually really enjoy that Instagram, who's known to be a platform where a lot of mental health conversations happen because people say Instagram is toxic and there's jealousy involved. And so this is great for them to kind of switch that narrative and actually take part in something that's important at a time like this.
Exactly. They got to do something about the trolls out there, though. Hopefully that'll be the next thing.
I like the trolls. Keep them coming.
Really? Wow. All right. We're bringing some motivation this Monday. RuPaul made an epic guest appearance on an episode of The Price is Right, and Mama Ru helped raise a ton of money for a worthwhile cause.
Horns and dinks and boinks and doinks. There's a woman in the back we call the sound effects lady. Oh. You have to beg the sound effects lady for every single number, and this is how you have to say it. And you can say it together if you want. Oh, mighty sound effects lady, do I have at least one number right?
Oh, mighty sound effects lady, do I have at least one number right,
please?
She's got one number.
Oh,
mighty sound effects lady, do I have at least two numbers right?
That's good.
So she helped raise nearly $100,000 for Planned Parenthood. And you might not know this, but back in 2017, he revealed that his mom used to work at Planned Parenthood, and the organization has a special place in his heart.
Oh, I love this. And that's a lot of money. So shout out to Planned Parenthood. And I think we're going to end up having a conversation about Planned Parenthood and men's health very soon.
Yes.
On the show coming up very soon. So stick around for that.
Definitely. All right. And finally, there were all these great celeb speeches around graduation 2020 and that TV special this weekend. I'm not sure if you saw that, Ryan.
Yeah, of course. I think I saw bits and pieces. You know, yeah. Obviously, this was a big moment for a lot of graduates. And yeah. I love seeing how many celebrities and, of course, our president getting involved.
You mean, and our president, we mean Obama, who gave his own commencement speech. And I love this tweet that came from Twitter user John Cooper, who said it perfectly. It was wonderful to remember what it's like to have a U.S. president who can speak eloquently, thoughtfully, and in complete sentences. Thank you, President Barack Obama. Hashtag Obama commencement 2020.
Yeah, that's why I call him my president, because he is my president.
Adults that you used to think were in charge and knew what they were doing, turns out they don't have all the answers. A lot of them aren't even asking the right questions. So if the world's gonna get better, it's gonna be up to you. That realization may be kind of intimidating, but I hope it's also inspiring. With all the challenges this country faces right now, nobody can tell you, no, you're too young to understand, or this is how it's always been done. Because with so much uncertainty, with everything suddenly up for grabs, this is your generation's world to shape.
And that was our Yaz Queen of the day.
Yaz Queen.
I thought you broke your voice there for a second. And now you can nominate someone for our Yaz Queen of the day. Just slide into our DMs at LGT Show on Twitter and Instagram. Now coming up, our hashtag made my day moment, where we share something we found on social media that made our day. And this next one includes someone who broke a Guinness World Record for the most ridiculous thing ever. That's next. We're wrapping up our show with our hashtag made my day moment, where we share something we found on social media that made our day.
And why not end the show on a good moment?
Exactly. Oh, we have some good ones here. Who knew you could get a world record for putting on 10 shirts in a certain amount of time? Well, this guy broke that record this weekend. Dreams come true in quarantine. Here's where he introduces the world record he won and the injuries he procured in the process.
Yourself. So this last week's challenge was the fastest time to put on 10 t-shirts, a seemingly innocuous challenge. However, I absolutely ripped up my wrists, the rubbing of the t-shirts going on. And this isn't like a typical Guinness World Record where you know what the current record is, you know the time to beat. There are hundreds of people trying to all beat it at the same time, so I'm just trying to get my absolute best time. The worst injury, however, I got was every time I knocked this little bone right here against my head. It is absolutely pulverized right now.
You know, there are a lot of things that you could be doing in this quarantine, you know, like learning a new language, learning how to cook, paint. But he decides to do this. And I'm not judging. I just feel like, how bored can you be?
I mean, it's very intense what he put himself through to win this. And this is a guy, by the way, that his passion, it seems his hobby, is to just do these world records. Like, that's what he does in his spare time.
Like I said, how bored can you be?
I mean, all right. And now here's the moment where he accomplishes this huge feat.
Come on. Of course, we got to make sure they're all below the waist. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And they're all crew neck, no V-necks, no button-ups, as allowed per the rules.
Such a, you know, there are kids in this video, if you watch the whole video, and I feel like he is a great example for them as a father. And yeah, it's fun. He's showing that he can have a little fun and also accomplish something that's huge.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a Guinness World Record, that's hard to do. And so shout out to you.
You know what? Despite how dramatic this all is, and it's easy to laugh at, I appreciate his commitment, and he does prove, you know, and it's a good example for his child that dreams can come true, whatever they are.
Well, I wouldn't say if I agree if it's a good example for his child, but, you know, that's just me. I'm not a parent, so maybe my views will change once I'm a parent. But I hope the bruises were worth it.
Exactly. Well, you can go to GuinnessWorldRecords.com. They do these weekly challenges where you can compete against other people to win a world record, and they change it up every week. How's that for some fun? Do it during happy hour, see what happens.
Like getting drunk during happy hour?
Yeah, imagine, wow, like you're drunk doing a world record. That could be fun.
That's alcoholism.
Okay. Let's move on to this clip from New York's Nassau City exec who tried to explain the new tennis ball rules with a straight face. And this comes from Twitter user Eileen, who says, "Have we reached peak stupidity yet? Even the cops behind her can't hold it together.
Unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them." I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X.
And yes, Eileen, I think we have reached peak stupidity. It's here.
Well, I thought this, when Shira brought this video to my attention, I thought it was so immature. But once I watched it and hearing it again, honestly, I can't help but laugh. So it is bad, something, yeah, that we need. And sometimes a little bit of stupid is the perfect dose to curing everything.
Sometimes we just need a little immature comedy. All right. Well, that does it for today's show. Let's go there with Shira and Ryan. We're here for you to weekdays on Channel Q, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Coming up on tomorrow's show, after lockdown is lifted, because all these lockdowns seem to be changing nationwide, how strippers are going back to work and doing their job safely. I'm curious.
Well, I can tell you my experience on tomorrow's show.
Okay, good to know. First time discovering about that. And the psychology behind nature therapy. And this is fascinating for me. It's a topic you are passionate about. Shut your mouth. You know what? I know everyone here that is willing to try something out in these hard times. We're all anxious.
Sure, that's why I'm stripping now. That's literally why I'm stripping now. Because I needed a change in my life and I needed to make some extra money. So,
hey, no shame, no shame. Okay, that is on tomorrow's show. If you missed any of today's show or any of our previous shows, we post everything as a podcast. Just go to the radio.com app, search Let's Go There, and subscribe so you're notified when we post new episodes. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
See you tomorrow. Have a great night.
Bye, y'all.